B-Pod Studios. Sci-fi.
Whoa.
Anime.
Whoa.
Video games.
Whoa.
Comic books.
Whoa.
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
This is Nerd Radio.
Excellent.
All right, welcome to this week's Nerd Radio. We are back for our second week of 2019. It's the right year, right? 2019?
Yes.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, it is.
I'm still running into that thing where you write the wrong year down.
Yeah, we got to scroll
time.
It out.
Right. It's Chuck Bean, James, and Al Beck.
Yes.
Hanging out in the studio. Did we talk about the fact that you only get one name, James?
Oh, yeah. I only go by my first name.
Okay.
Well, because usually I would always refer to myself as I'm James from The Riff or James from Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Right.
And I really did like my last name being out there.
It is out there, but it's not overly.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, you almost have to, like, seek it out. But yeah. I know, like, I have. So my reputation on the morning show is being a homoerotic. People think I'm gay and, like, all this
yeah.
stuff. So I think I was getting some fallback from that with my dad. And his job at a shop.
So it was easier to
avoid the Campbell.
Separate.
I'm just James from this.
Yeah, I knew it. Well, it's kind of funny because, like, you're doing it for different reasons, but there was a guy who used to work here who changed his last name. And his reasoning behind it was that, you know what? If you look at my last name in the phone book, and at the time, phone books were still relevant. He goes, if you look up the name in the phone book, you're going to find six with that last name. None of them are me. And I know I've got it in me to piss somebody off.
So
I don't want people like looking for him because like, oh, you said that stupid thing on the radio and it ends up at his dad's house or something, you know?
Have you ever had somebody say, hey, you said that stupid thing on the radio?
Oh, dude, I've had some encounters. I've had some pretty bad encounters.
Are you asking non-radio related people asking him that or just anybody in general? Okay.
I've been threatened. Over things I've said on the radio.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Well,
we're going to leave it at that because
it's
going to get dark.
No, that's fine. Hopefully you guys don't feel like threatening us over anything. But if you do, you can find us on the social media at Nerd Radio 101. That's where you can find us on Facebook.
Well, and, it's bound to happen.
And Twitter as well. So the big news this week, you guys, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I've told you guys multiple times is my favorite Spider-Man movie, wins at the 76th Golden Globe Awards. How about that?
Wow, an animated comic movie.
Yeah, well, they have a Best Animated Feature Film award, but that typically goes to whatever Pixar movie is going on this year.
Yeah, it's pretty much a gimme for them.
Right, and I think this year it was Ralph Breaks the Internet was one of the movies. I don't know if that's the Pixar movie, though. I think Incredibles.
Oh, yeah, Incredibles 2. That came out this year, didn't it?
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Spider-Man winning the Golden Globe. That was super exciting for people who really like the movie, like myself.
And I think it's funny the point that James just sort of made, too, that it's an animated comic book movie. Because there's a lot of those out there, and there's a lot of people that follow it, too. But this one, I feel like, has gotten the most attention out of it. You know, do the other ones even typically end up in theaters?
No. Like, DC makes animated movies. Seems like every six months they've got an animated version of some classic story.
Yeah.
And those are always direct-to-video.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with their own streaming service now, they'd be direct to, you know, whatever it is, the DC app.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, I'm about to bring you down there a little bit, Albeck.
Oh, well, I'm already down, so let's you come down to my level.
Oh, I have all a feeling I know what he's going to talk about.
Yeah, well, according to Deadline, Star Trek 4, not happening.
What?
Yeah, the fourth Star Trek movie, the planned sequel to Star Trek Beyond in 2016.
Why is that?
I guess they just lost their director. They've been recruited to HBO to do a Game of Thrones spinoff or prequel show or something like that. And the studio is just, they're like, you know what? We're just going to put this on shelf for now and maybe revisit it when we've got a little bit more.
So in other words, nobody cares. Everybody wants Game of Thrones.
I mean, Game of Thrones is definitely has a wider appeal than Star Trek.
I disagree, but
it has a more broad appeal. I would rather watch Star Trek than Game of Thrones, but I think
you're talking people.
If
I'm
you
talking
tally up the numbers,
opinion,
yes,
right?
Yes. No, if you tally up the numbers, more people want to watch Game of Thrones than Star Trek. Although I think the new Star Trek have been a broader than just Trekkies.
Well, absolutely. That's what I was going to say. The light at the end of the tunnel, I guess, is the fact that you're getting so much Star Trek on the CBS All Access app.
Yeah.
You got the new show. There's a Picard show that's coming
out.
Which is also good.
Which is also, because it's not like the Star Trek franchise is going on hiatus or something. Discovery's coming, like you said, Discovery's coming back. And I think they got a lot of plans for other stuff, too. Like, we know about Picard. We know about Discovery's continuing. And they've got a lot of stuff planned in the Trek franchise, where we've talked before on the podcast, where I'm almost a little bit nervous that it's going to be too much. And I'm not going to be ready. I mean, it's been a year since I've seen Discovery. I am stoked for that to come back. But if it's just, you know, there's a Trek show, and I don't have a time to miss it, you know, there's something about...
Well, it's something
that's where the old show business rule, even wanting more, comes from, is because if you just always have everything, then you stop caring, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That was something that me and you have meant to talk about on the show here for the last couple of weeks, but we haven't. The new season of Doctor Who just wrapped up. On New Year's Eve, they had their last episode on New Year's Eve, and then it's not coming back this year. Like, they're pretty much following that exact thing of, like, leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
We're going to do a year of Doctor Who, and then we're going to take a year off.
They did this last time, too, right? Or was it?
It feels like,
seasons ago or something.
No.
Because they took a break for the Olympics. Yeah. Remember?
Between the Peter Capaldi season and then the new Jodie Whittaker stuff.
Yeah. She's great, by the way.
I was going to say, did you catch most of the season?
Yeah, I haven't seen the New Year's Eve episode yet. I don't know. I put it on, and it was one of those things where my brain was somewhere else, and I was on my phone a bunch and whatever. And I was like, all right, now's not the time to watch this. So I was maybe 10 minutes into it, and I shut it off. I'll go back to it. But I thought she was great. I really liked, in particular, I mean, like, the stories were, they were Doctor Who episodes. They were, you know, it wasn't necessarily, the episodes themselves didn't really stand out, but I mean, they... You know, Stephen Moffat was always like a...
It's strange because it...
Polarizing guy when it came...
It feels like a different show. And I don't know if part of that is the fact that we've literally been watching this show for a decade now.
Well, and again, while I was just mentioning Stephen Moffat, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, like, and he was such a big part of the show. And he was a polarizing guy for Who fans.
Sure.
Because half of Whoers, as I like to call...
Bunch
Doctor
of filthy Whoers.
A bunch of Whoers. The Whoers either loved him or hated him. I loved him. I thought he was great. I feel like it missed a beat without him, though. As a fan of Stephen Moffat, I don't think we missed anything, but I think she's great. I really do.
Over the holidays, they played like a marathon for like a week and a half.
They
weren't even in order. They were just like, here's Doctor Who episodes.
Which
here's
is
the
ones
cool. Everybody loves kind of thing. So, yeah, I got to catch like The Silence in the Library and Don't Blink and stuff like that, and which are both Stephen Moffat episodes. He had such a great like grasp on storytelling.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could never understood why so many Whoers hate him. It's more fun to say every time.
Well, you said you're super pumped for Discovery. Yeah. I saw commercials, too, over the holidays that the Orville's coming back.
Yeah, the Orville is back.
Oh, it's already back.
Yeah, that's
already
back.
They already have new episodes of that.
Yeah, I think that's 2-3 weeks in already.
Yeah. And that's still a fun, you know, like
I still enjoy
alternative
it.
To Star Trek.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I still love it. Like, I think even the first episode of the season... I was laughing because it was clear they were clearly making fun of Klingons.
Okay.
Because they've got this one character who's definitely based on Klingons, but he's a different species or whatever. Season one.
The porn addiction one?
No, I don't think it's. No, this. No, it's okay. Not porn addiction, but this guy, like in the first season, they find out that the entire species is gender neutral. So they're all essentially males. They all have like what we would deem like a male body type.
Okay.
As humans. But, like, so he has to have a baby or whatever, so he, like, lays an egg, you know? So, I mean, like, there's all these weird things. But the, but in this first episode of this season, he's got this big ritual. They got to go back to his home planet because this species only urinates once a year. So he's got to...
Like
gotta,
a sloth pooping once a week or
exactly,
whatever?
Exactly, yeah. And so they got to go home... And he, so he can do, and it's there's this big ritual there. And
oh
like
my God.
They're prepping all the crew want is going to be his like special backup for the ritual. And he's just like out on a cliff and he's going to just urinate into this crevasse. But it's clearly making fun of Klingons because there's everything is a freaking ritual with those guys.
Right.
Like, you know, like it's the beating of the sticks to commemorate your 34th birthday. Like, what? Come on. Like, they do have pain sticks in Star Trek for
that's
Klingons.
True.
It's stupid, you know?
No, but, that's I do recall an episode seeing that they had pain sticks.
But no, I still really like The Orville because it's a sci-fi show that also happens to be a comedy.
Yeah.
You know, that was my big worry that it was, oh, it's going to be a spoof and it's going to be overly done on the comedy and ha-ha, whatever. But no, it's like Seth MacFarlane is a big Trekkie, and this was his way to trick Fox into letting him do a sci-fi show. He's like, if I write a couple jokes, will you let me do a Star Trek show? And they're like, yeah, okay. So it's really, it's a sci-fi show. I like it.
Are either of you guys like big fans of his animated work, like the American Dad or...
I loved Family Guy before it got canceled that first time.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if...
Ever since it came back, I'm
wondering if all the work he's putting into the Orville might be taking away from Family Guy.
Well, I almost wonder how much he actually puts into the other entities,
yeah,
like American Dad.
I don't think it's much.
All that stuff. I think he's focused on other stuff. I think he's just the guy who created it now.
Yeah.
He's got his whole team of writers. He might suggest ideas for episodes.
He just feels
and voices
safe with
the characters.
He feels safe with them. It's just they got this.
Like he's not. I feel like he can't be as involved because there's so much.
Yeah,
I
there's think, only so many hours.
You know,
I think he's got the executive producer credentials, so he can veto something if he wants, or he can make a final decision. But I think he's essentially just an actor on the show now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
I can't remember.
I wonder if that was another Seth MacFarlane fooled you thing. It's like he really just wanted to be a voice in animation, so he got Fox to make a show.
Right.
So that he could go back to just being a voice in animation.
I'm not crazy about Family Guy. I thought American Dad was a better show, but even that has its moments that are kind of weak. But
sure.
I mean, I'll give that guy some credit, though, because like he also has a couple albums out.
Yeah.
And they're crooner albums, which I like. I like, you know, my Dean Martin and stuff like that. So I've listened to them. They're really good. But I'd heard the story behind those. Like, he had made some record deal with this label. And when he went in for the meeting, they were like, all right, so what kind of album do you want? He's like, I don't know. What are you looking for? They're like, I don't know. Whatever you want to do. What do you want to do, Seth? He's like, it can be anything I want to do. They said, yeah. He goes, like, it doesn't have to be a comedy album. Like, I mean, I'm a comedy guy. Like, no, if you don't want to do comedy, I don't have to make a single joke. They're like, no, you can do whatever you want. He goes, well, I always want to do like a Frank Sinatra album. Like, that's what you want to do. We'll do it. Really? I can just sing? Like, yeah. So it's not funny. It's just a straightforward him singing. And it's good.
He's nice.
It's good.
He's a Renaissance man.
Yeah, man, his shows get away with so much stuff, too. So the topics that they try to tackle and the things that they say, like, sometimes makes me cringe.
Right.
Like not in a bad way, like I'm offended, but like, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that on television right now.
Right.
Like,
and keep in mind, listeners, who's saying that?
Yes.
What show that
exactly.
You actively work on as well. So,
because there's, especially anytime you tackle anything with like racism on TV.
Yeah.
And the N-bomb and things like that. And I was like, whoa, this is a Family Guy episode.
Right.
But man, like Family Guy and The Simpsons and like all those cartoons like on Fox, I've always loved.
Yeah.
And dude, Adult Swim and TBS, all you do, you turn it on. Family Guy, American Dad, Cleveland Show.
It's true.
So I've seen probably every single episode 12 times.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm kind of burned out on it at the moment, but I'd still go back and still watch them, and I still enjoy them.
That's the only time I think I've actively seen Family Guy is on, you know, clicking on Adult Swim in the middle of the night and being like, whatever, I'll leave this on.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
See, Family Guy, I thought, haven't been a fan of that for a long time. I remember watching the first episode when it aired. It was after the Super Bowl one year. And I watched it. I thought it was hysterical. No one else watched it. It got canceled.
Yeah.
But I thought it was I remember when the DVDs came out. I remember I got home from school. I sat down on the couch and watching TV a little bit, and I saw a commercial, Family Guy, now on DVD. I stood up, walked out of the house, and went and bought it. Like,
I loved
that show. I thought it was hysterical. And then the DVD sales were so good that Fox ended up like, hey,
let's bring it back. Yeah, I didn't get into it until after they canceled it and brought it back.
Yeah.
My friends turned me on to it. I didn't understand it at first. I'm like, Stewie. So,
yeah.
Like, he's staying this, like stuff.
But, why is this small?
Sometimes they hear him, sometimes it seems like they understand what he's saying.
Just
but
like
other
a baby.
Times,
yeah.
He's just.
I know there's even a joke in the show about that. They're like, I don't understand. So they understand the baby or they don't?
Yeah, there's an episode where they bring that up. And I was like, that's exactly how I felt when I first saw it.
But one of the things I like so much, it's funny, what I don't like about it now is what you were kind of talking about, James, where they talk about so much stuff and so many issues. But it's not clever, I don't think, the way they do it. Not to me, anyway.
It's certainly not in the same way that South Park will decide to tackle an issue.
But I feel like in the first season, it was so under scrutiny that they had to dance around the line a lot more. And then when they killed it in sales, and all of a sudden Fox, like, hey, we want this show back on the air. It's not as clever. They just steer right into it. And it's just, all right, well, that's... Now, what was fun about this show, though, it was like they were getting away with it. Now, it's just like, they're not going to take us off the air, so we'll just do it.
And some of that, I feel, might be the lack of Seth MacFarlane's involvement in it.
Could
he might have had the mind that's more, you know, able to kind of dance around a topic instead of going straight for it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they kind of do that a little bit on the Orville. Like,
yeah.
I feel like some of the stuff that they bring up, It's done metaphorically in such a great way, as opposed to like Family Guy will straight up just, you know, show a horse and then a censor bar and right. somebody doing something to the horse, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And Peter Griffin like making a joke about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to more of the Orville.
That you have 45 minutes on Family Guy here on Nerd Radio.
That's not where I was expecting.
It's a very current topic.
That's the fun part of this show is I never know. I just try and steer the car. But you guys are actually like the wheels of the car. You guys are going to go where you want to.
And I don't know. We just hope we're aligned that week.
It's like a Oregon Trail.
A little bit.
We're the oxen while you're on the cart, and we're going to cross that river. Is it going to flip over? We don't know.
Have you seen? I was in Walmart the other day. Have you seen? They have like a little a portable Oregon Trail game now.
No.
Yeah, it looks like
the computer
like a little handheld.
Like a Tiger Electronics.
Yes.
No, that's awesome.
Oregon Trail. Yeah,
it's
friggin' hilarious because that was a computer game. Yeah. That wasn't a handheld or anything like that. But now you
is
can
that
buy
the one that was all text based.
There was a little bit of graphics.
You could like hunt. I remember hunting.
Okay. Yeah,
I remember.
I never played it.
Yeah, so. In elementary school, once you finished your keyboarding like course or your numbers course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You had free time, so everybody was like trying to get through their stuff so they could play Oregon Trail because we wanted to see if we could beat it. But then everybody just died of diarrhea or whatever, you know, along the way.
Yeah.
Either
dysentery
wagon,
again.
Yeah, either your wagon flips or somebody dies of diarrhea. And you can never actually make it to the end of Oregon Trail.
The amazing thing is we're bringing it full circle because
I hate it when your wagon flips.
The very first game that me and Jefferson talked about on the very first episode of Nerd Radio, we talked about how it was essentially Space Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah.
And that you know, like, you had to worry about space dysentery. So, there you go.
Did Jefferson play Oregon Trail?
No, but it was just...
Okay, I was going to say, he's like 4 years old. I don't know how he could have.
Is it a generational thing? Because I don't think I'm that much older than you, Al.
No, well, if you were in
elementary school, I believe I was in junior high school when we had a computer class that actually ran Oregon Trail. We were like, oh, what is this? A video game at school? This is great.
And you go hunting and you get like 5,000 pounds of food and like you can only carry 100 pounds or whatever.
Right.
You're like,
oh,
man.
Well, it just wasn't available to me. No, I think you and I are only about like, I'm 32. We're like,
I'm 36.
Just, so. Yeah, so we're just a few years apart. But no, we just didn't have it available to us. Like we didn't get to play games really on our school computers. And then our DOS-based computer system at home had Space Invaders and Hangman, and that was it.
Hangman?
No Jazz Jackrabbit or what else? Descent? I think it was a game called Descent.
Descent
that I never
was a
understood.
Big deal. Nope. Yeah.
I know I could fly a spaceship and I would shoot stuff. And,
it was Doom, but it was 3D. You were a spaceship.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have any of that.
My buddy had a DOS computer and he had this game that we were supposed to, he had Prince of Persia, which was a huge DOS game back in the
Prince
day.
Of Persia.
And then he had this game where you were supposed to be a surgeon and we could do everything up to the point where you were supposed to cut into the body.
Was it like a brain surgery? Like you get the scalpel and you like cut the skin and then the skin would flip over?
No, we never did brain surgery. It was always like the abdomen. There was always an abdomen and you would use the mouse and you would start clicking on the thing and you would slowly make the incision.
I think I played that same game.
If you did it too fast, they bled to death. And if you did it too if you did it too slow, then like a couple little dots would appear and then they would take the guy away from you because they're going to bleed to death otherwise. Like, that's get out of here, doctor. You screwed it up.
Man, that's just reminding me of being at like my elementary school friend's house when he first got his computer. We're playing like that surgery game Myst, trying to figure out Myst.
I just rebought Myst last year.
Did you?
Yeah.
I wonder if I can actually solve some of the puzzles now, because I think back
then. No, not at all.
I was too much of a dimwit. I don't know what any of this means. But
I had an entire, I played Myst on the Sega Saturn, and it was one of the like the launch games that I had not.
Sega Saturn. That's a throwback system.
But I had an entire like notebook sheet of like I would write down the puzzles. Mm. I would be like, okay, this one has I remember I was so proud of myself too because there was the one that had the piano keyboard, and just knowing what little I did at the time about playing actual music, I figured that puzzle out.
Oh, that's awesome!
Without actually having to go back and read the book and be like, oh, it's these keys. I just like, no, well the tone was this, so it was this, and the hey, I did it. Man, that takes me back.
Yeah, I feel like I never solved any of those puzzles. So
no, it was difficult. It was super difficult. Well, let's take a break. We're already talking about video games. We'll continue coming back with some more Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The name's Nukem, Duke Nukem. You know I've got balls of steel. I wouldn't be saying that unless I was here on Nerd Radio, because they've got balls of steel too. Hail to the Nerd Radio, baby.
Oh man, we are reminiscing here on Nerd Radio, old games.
Yeah, throwback PC games.
Right. It is Chuck Bean, James, and Al Beck hanging out with you on your, wherever you get your podcast. Actually, James, you were saying it's not that
easy. Yeah, it's kind of hard to find on the Apple podcasting app on your iPhone.
Right. But so. we are on the B-Pod Studios network, and we'll pin a tweet to the top of our Nerd Radio 101 Twitter with the link to the iTunes to make it a little bit easier on everybody involved. You were just saying, we were talking about old PC games before we took a break there, and you were talking about Sam & Max.
Sam & Max, yeah, like the detective like game, but it was kind of like, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek and was also had some sass to them.
Yeah.
Because like, one of them has like a little rabbit guy, and one of them's a dog that looks like a McGruff.
Yep.
Take a bite out of crime. He's like
McGruff, yes.
Yeah. He's like that guy. Crime dog. And then like, I think Max was the little rabbit guy. I forget. It's been so long.
But he was psychotic. He always wanted violence.
Yeah, and he'd go through and he'd talk to these people and get clues and he had to solve puzzles and take it to the next place.
What was the Grand Theft Auto guy?
Which one?
The dude in Grand Theft Auto that was always violent.
Trevor?
Yeah, he was like the Trevor of Sam & Max. He's the precursor to Trevor.
That's so funny because I've never even, like, you both got all super like excited and nostalgic about this game, and I've never, not only have I not played it, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
Which, again, I mean, I'm not much of a gamer to begin with, but then you talk about PC games, I'm almost completely out of the game.
Well, my sister was huge on Sam & Max, but that style of game used a programming language called, I think it was ScumV, because there were a bunch of games that were like that, where you pointed out a thing in the screen.
Monkey Island or something like that?
Yeah, you pointed out a thing in the screen, and then you pointed out a word like use, so you would like use key on door kind of thing to try and figure out adventure, something like that.
Is it Maniac Mansion or something that's similar to it as
well? That's where I was headed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not at all. No, the Maniac Mansion was, I think, one of the very first ones of those. I remember I had that on the Nintendo, and I was blown away with it. I finally got around to... one of the free games that they did on the Vita last year was the sequel, Day of the Tentacle. And the sequel has a playable Maniac Mansion in the game.
Oh, man, that's cool. I want to go back and play these games now. Like, yeah, right? Like, I want to play them. But.
Well, like I said, you can find Day of the Tentacle on the PlayStation Network. So you can get that on, like, the PlayStation 4, maybe, and the Vita, obviously. But that was something I haven't brought up on the show. A little bit of a downer, for me at least, that you'd got an email just before the Christmas vacation from PlayStation.
Oh yeah.
That I had to go and look up that as of March, PlayStation Plus is no longer doing the free games on the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation Vita.
Oh.
They're only supporting the PlayStation 4 with the every month you get a free game.
So, because I'm new to the whole PlayStation world, it's been a while. I mean, I have a system and I still haven't set it up yet.
Right.
But PlayStation Plus, is that like the Xbox Live?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When the 4 came around, this is the first time you had to get it in order to go online and game with other
people.
And
you have to pay.
Yeah, yep. It's an annual fee. I think it's like $50 for the whole year. Maybe it's $60.
That was the selling point everybody had for me. It was like, you got to get a PS4 or whatever because you don't have to pay to play online with friends.
PS3 was like that.
Yes, okay,
but
PS3.
When they came out with the 4, you had to have Plus, which again is like the, I can't remember if it's $50 or $60, but it's the one-time annual fee.
Okay. Yeah.
So once a year you pay it and you're good for the year.
So once I set my PS4 up, I got to know I'm going to be spending about $50-$60 to actually play with you guys.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But the bonus of that, PlayStation is the one that actually started with the every month we'll give you a
the
game.
Free ones?
We'll give you a free game that you can download.
So Xbox is jocking their style with their
absolutely.
Their
after about a year of it on the PlayStation 3, Xbox was like, all right, I guess we got to do this too.
Which is funny too, because Xbox is just like releasing games that you probably already had for your 360. Now you can just play it on your Xbox One.
Yeah, and I would say like in the last year, there's been at least 3 or 4 games that were on my list of like, oh, I need to play that. Like the last Metal Gear game a couple of months ago was the free game for like September or August, something like that. I'm like, oh, well, cool. I'm going to play Metal Gear for the next couple of months. Sweet.
That's cool. What I do like about it too, so I'll see games that I want or I wanted to try or I want to play. You go in there, you download them, then you can uninstall them.
Yeah.
So you free up that memory again so you can put other games on. But then if you decide, oh, I finally have time to play this game, and you can go back and reinstall it, and you still have it. So
that's how the 4 is. I always forget, because I'm not much of a gamer. I always forget. But every so often, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's check out the free games. And I'll go in there, and I don't care what it is. I'll add it to my library.
Right.
Because as long as you have PlayStation Plus, you still
it goes
have
with
it.
You? That's awesome.
It stays. Yeah. Now, if I cancel my PlayStation Plus, it goes away, and I assume if I reactivate my PlayStation Plus, I don't know. I would assume it comes back. I'm assuming I don't get it back.
Well, and the save games are separate from the actual data that the game itself takes up. That's because that's what James is talking about, where like I can delete Metal Gear, and then if I decide I don't want to play Metal Gear again, I can reload it and just go right to my save.
You won't have all your save points and stuff, but the game is still there. You still have access to where you can play it.
Yeah.
So I got to interrupt real quick. Well, is there a pube on the screen here?
Like, what?
Al, what are you doing with this iPad?
Dad, don't worry about it.
I see that.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's a very... I think we're
using Al's pleasure pad here.
I will say this. It is definitely not a pube. However, it is a very puby-looking hair.
It's very
puby-looking.
It's just an eyelash.
Oh, well, that's the longest eyelash I've ever seen.
Well,
I mean, maybe like an old man eyebrow. But that's a...
Well, it's
not the color of my hair.
So. Well.
Well, no, this is my iPad that is definitely my puby hair, but it's not my pube hair. It's a difference.
What is Al's bringing his pleasure pad in here?
I am balding, and in the back of my head, there are very, very short hairs hanging in there, so I'm guessing that's where...
Well, you and John Cena have that in common.
Oh, yeah. You noticed, too?
Oh, Jesus,
he's got to lose that dad haircut. Go back to the...
Well, yeah, he's always had a short haircut. But now he's grown his hair out and stuff, and whenever your camera catches the back of his head, you're like, oh, John.
Yep. Yeah. I hate that I don't want to take it down wrestling road, but and every time he brings it up, oh, you make fun of my hair. Yes, your hair looks dumb. Get it cut.
Is that the next thing that's going to happen the next time we see you on social media at a wrestling event?
Because you're here, John Cena?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be yelling.
I don't think you'd be mad at John Cena, though.
No, I can't be that mad at him. But
no.
I mean, I do wish he would just cut his hair. Go back to the military cut.
Right.
You looked better.
Yep.
I'm assuming he's got to keep his hair this way. He filmed the movie or something. So for reshoots, I'm assuming he's got to keep his hair a certain look. Because he's also not as ripped and he's not as like swole as he's been in the past.
Like
he looks kind of sickly.
That's the thing. He's ripped, but he's much smaller than he's ever been.
Yeah, like he's not as swole.
Right.
He's
still
a fine-looking man, but he's just not as...
As a quick aside, wrestling-wise, too, something you guys can look forward to as we're moving forward here. We did this 2 years ago. We're going to do a fantasy league, and we're going to incorporate the other wrestling podcasts that are here in the building. There's a Around the Ring with Ryan, and then I think it's like top three with Jello and Justin.
Nice.
So we're gonna see which show knows wrestling the best. With a little fantasy, almost like fantasy football action with wrestlers. You pick wrestlers and then try and get points based on who's on TV and who's winning matches.
What happens? I was reading, like, you get points if somebody goes through a table. You get points if you get hit with a chair. You get points if you use a chair. You get points if you go through the announcing desk.
Am I involved in this? Because I would definitely auto-draft and not...
No, I'm definitely not dragging you into it, for sure. No, me and James and Erica will be participating for Nerd Radio.
Where's Honky Tonk Man? I can't find!
Where's the Honky Tonk Man?
Well, I don't think he's around anymore, Al.
No!
I don't think he can get any points.
Not for the Honky Tonk Man,
I don't think he can get points for being dead. Not even The Undertaker.
Oh, that's rough. It's funny...
You probably get some major points if you kill somebody, though.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Oh, that's rough.
It's like Smash TV.
Leave it to me to pick a dead guy.
Yeah, good job. Good job. You want to pick Mean Gene while you're at it? Really rub
salt
in the wound?
Yeah, why don't you open up another wound? You know?
Ultimate Warrior? How's he doing? Oh, no.
No, he's not.
According to Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior is hanging out with Mean Gene and Mr. Perfect and Andre the Giant.
Up in wrestling heaven.
Yeah.
You were talking about the PlayStation Network, how you have to spend like $50-$60 or the Xbox or something like that. They have for the Nintendo Switch last fall they announced a similar thing. It's only like $20 a year.
Oh man.
Instead of $50 a year.
That's awesome.
And you get the NES games, the Nintendo games. But they had three games per month leading all the way up to December. We are a week into January, and I have no idea if I'm getting Nintendo games this month. Like, I'm not going to be
pissed.
You're
leaving you hanging?
Yeah, I'm not going to be pissed if they don't give me any more Nintendo games, but at the same time, like, they set a precedent for, like, three or 4 months that you get three new games every month, and now I haven't, you know, there's no games.
It's like the drug dealer, and they're giving you the free games for a little while to get you hooked.
Yeah.
Right.
They want you to come back and spend some cash.
Yeah, exactly.
I do enjoy watching because a lot of the games that I see that you have recordings of that you share are games that I struggled playing growing up.
Yep.
That I gave up on. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe Chuck. He's so far in. There's a Ghouls and Ghosts.
I got into Ghosts and Goblins.
Ghosts and Goblins and Ninja Gaiden. I was like, oh my God. I've never made it that far. I've never made it past the first board on either of those.
Yeah, well, the big secret, with at least with the NES app, is that you can save state, which means you can save anywhere in the game. You can just stop the game and save your game.
That's perfect.
So, yeah.
See, that's the only way to do it, though, because, I mean, those games were designed to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, even that I know, because it was all designed for the arcade when they want you to put in more
just
quarters.
Keep shoveling quarters.
So
in
when
there.
It comes into your living room, they just had that same platform that they were designing them, and it's like,
well, yeah, it took them a minute to figure out how to repurpose the home gaming platform instead, because just making a game that you shovel quarters in doesn't work if I'm not shoveling quarters into it.
Right.
I'm just losing in three turns, and then
you're just
like,
getting mad.
Oh, this ain't fun anymore.
Right.
Right, exactly.
That's one of my frustrations, and probably why I'm not that much of a gamer. Like, I remember the first time beating a game, it was like, oh my God,
hey, I did it!
There's credits at the end of these? That's cool!
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Over the holidays too, I picked up the Mega Man collection, which is the first nine Mega Mans. Like the cartridge has the first six, all the NES ones on it, and then you have to download like the Super Nintendo one, the PlayStation 1 version, and then the two that they made a couple years ago.
On Game Boy.
Oh, Mega Man stuff. Man. Those were rough because he took up so much of the screen.
Yeah,
he was friggin' huge on the. He took up like a fourth of the screen because the Game Boy had much smaller pixels.
Yeah.
But I bring it up because it didn't have save state, but it had this thing where if you held the left trigger, it would rewind.
Okay.
So, like, the minute you died, you'd hold the left trigger, and it would rewind back to where you wanted it to, like, up to a full minute, and then you could start again. And they changed the games to play around that rewind feature, because while I'm playing it, I've played them on multiple systems multiple times, and I'm playing through it, and I'm like, that guy was never there.
Ah, so they're like, this we're going to trick you.
Right. Yeah. And after the first or second time it happened, or there were bosses that, like, if you touched them, you died immediately. And I'm like, that didn't happen back in the day. What is this? And that's what, after like three or four of the Mega Man games, I was like, they changed this up.
Right.
The rewind feature. But then when you get to the ones you have to download, like the Super Nintendo one and stuff like that, the rewind feature's gone. And I'm like, how am I supposed to play a Mega Man game without being able to rewind? Oh, no!
I feel like those are some of the hardest games to beat, too. Like, if you ever made it
for,
like, Dr. Wily's Castle.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations, you made it. Because that was a struggle, killing all nine of the other Mega Man
enemies.
Mega
Man 2 was the easiest of them. And that's the one whenever somebody, you know, wants a recommendation of, like, a NES game they should play. I'm like, play Mega Man 2. Mega Man 2 was fantastic.
I'm trying to remember which one I got in on. I think I, like, 5. I got real deep into 5.
Yeah.
And is Mega Man 2 with Bubble Man?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Then I watched my neighbor when I'm growing up.
Yep.
I'd go to my neighbor's house because his parents were never home and his dad had Playboys around, so I'd go hang out over there.
Nice.
And, checking out the ladies and watching some Mega Man.
I'd watch him play Mega Man, and I'd check out a nice rack in Playboy magazine. This is what summer vacations were made of back then.
Oh my God, dude. Now it's living the dream right there at that age.
I could never play Mega Man, but I wasn't worried because I was staring at a pair of glorious
didn't
knits.
Care.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to take a break or if I want to hit you guys with this right now. So there
sounds like you're going to hit us with it.
There's a like essentially the calendar of every superhero movie we can look forward to for the next year. And I just want to run them by you guys and see if you're interested, if you're not, if you have no idea what it is, you know, I just, you know, I'll let you know what the movie is and when it's coming out. You give me your off the cuff impressions.
How long have we been going?
About 10 minutes.
About 10 minutes? You want to take a break and do that?
Let's get a little drink.
A little drink.
We're coming back after a drive.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Nerd Radio.
He's like a person and a horse.
All right, welcome back to more Nerd Radio here. And don't you love it when I do that? More Nerd Radio here.
Spring it on me.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, I guess we're doing this.
We can sit here and have an off-mic discussion for 20 minutes.
Yep.
And then and it's always rolling.
Yep.
Yeah. Just never know when the segment's going to start.
So it's Chuck B and it's Outback. It's James. We're sitting in the studio.
Sure is.
And we were talking before the break about all the superhero movies coming out in the new year here. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go through the calendar with you, and you guys let me know, what do you think? What do you think? Is this, you got to go see it? You going to see it maybe when it comes out on streaming or video, or are you just not interested whatsoever?
Cool.
Kind of thing. We're starting out in a couple of weeks with the M. Night Shyamalan Glass, which is the sequel to Unbreakable and Split. Split was the movie he did with the guy who plays Professor Xavier in the first Glass movies. He had the split personality, and at the very end of it, you find out, you see Bruce Willis, and he's playing the character from Unbreakable.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well, if you know about this movie, then you know why it exists.
Right.
But that's a couple of weeks from now. Bruce Willis is coming back, and then Sam Jackson playing revising his character, Mr. Glass.
Okay.
From Unbreakable. And then James McAvoy coming back to play the character he played in Split.
Oh.
So the Unbreakable was almost like a good Superman movie. You know,
so I can easily answer the question that I don't have any interest in this.
No. I know Al's not interested. So.
Yeah, we just talked about this because I've never seen the other two movies.
Oh, I see.
So if I'm going to see Glass, you know me, I have to see the other two first. And I don't know anything about Unbreakable. I really don't.
I would absolutely recommend you check out Unbreakable. Yeah. I think it's probably aged pretty well, too, because it's about a decade old at this point.
Okay.
But it was in a time, you know, in between getting Superman movies whatsoever. You had the Christopher Reeves movies in the 80s, and those were fun, but kind of childish.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
they're terrible movies, but I've got a soft place in my heart for them.
Right.
But they really are. I watched them, I don't know, like a couple years ago. I at least watched the first couple. I was like, God. This movie's really bad.
Well,
I think the one with Richard Pryor was probably the worst.
Was that the second or the third?
No, the one with Richard Pryor is where he fights the computer.
Oh, computer!
At the end
of
it, because Richard Pryor is the computer programmer.
There's the one guy has to wait for the guy to get out of the sunlight or whatever he can take him out.
I think that was the next one, actually, Superman 4.
Now I'm curious. I'll look it up. But to answer the question about Glass, no interest. Maybe after I go back and watch the other two, I would be, but I got no interest.
Glass, I'm very interested in. I'm actually going to see it a couple of days before it comes out.
Excellent.
I got invited to the press screening. So,
nice.
And that's how me and Al started talking about it.
Yeah.
I was looking for a date.
Oh, I see.
And he was like, I don't even know what that is. Like, okay. Well, fair enough.
I thought, like I said, Unbreakable is great. Split was okay. I didn't hate it, but it definitely felt at the end when you saw Bruce Willis's character that like that didn't need to be there. It didn't need to be a part of a shared
felt
universe.
It wouldn't be a part of the Unbreakable whatever, like
right.
M. Night, like I mean, I don't really know how he's tying it together.
Felt like M. Night Shyamalan, you know, like auditioning for Marvel. Like, hey, I can do shared universe movies.
Yeah, kind of.
I want to do a Marvel movie. I can do shared universe movies. Please let me do one.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see you know, how they all intertwine.
Right.
Just real quick, Superman 3 was the one with Richard Pryor.
Superman 3? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
In March, we got to wait all the way until March for the next superhero movie, but that's when we get Captain Marvel, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get to see the Skrulls in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all their shape-shifting stuff, and we're going to get to see how Nick Fury loses an eye. That's supposed to happen in that movie. Phil Coulson is coming back for that one, and It's the bridge the gap between the end of Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, which I think is a month after that. I think it's in the end of April.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm pretty much excited for any kind of Marvel movie.
Right.
Any Marvel live action movie I'll be excited to see.
Which one?
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Yes, I am interested. No, so I'll tell you what had me so distracted. So I was on IMDb, Richard Pryor or whatever, and you know, on their IMDb page, they usually have like screenshots of things that like zoom by.
Yeah.
And I looked down, I was like, is that a picture of Richard Pryor in a casket? And it is.
What?
Yeah, naturally.
It's a screenshot from the movie, Some Call It Loving from 1973, but no, I'd finished the Settler Superman debate, and as I was about to close it down, this is what I see, Chuck.
Oh, for God's sake.
I was like, okay, well, so that's why, sorry. Checked out in a second there, I was like, what? Why? That seems not okay.
That seems inappropriate.
Yeah. So, yes.
There's a funeral porn over here.
Yeah. What? So they.
Let's not put that out there.
Well, I guess I know what this episode's called.
No.
Funeral porn enthusiast.
It's either funeral porn or Albeck's pubes on his iPad. So, I mean.
Pubie. It was pubie hair, not pube hair.
I'm not going to lie. I know a pube when I see one, Al, and I'm almost positive that was probably a pube.
All right. Well, let's go outside the Marvel Universe. Shazam coming out April the 5th. Any interest, you guys?
I'll check it out, but I'm not like, I'm not stoked on it. I'm not familiar with the character. Yeah. Is The Rock supposed to be involved with this somehow?
He is. He's supposed to be playing Black Adam.
Black Adam. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was going to call him Bad Adam, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like the anti-version of Shazam.
Gotcha. Yeah. For me, with the DC universe, I'm so disconnected from it. I know the main, like the Justice League characters, you know, I know those guys. And that's about it.
Once he starts bridging out from those, and it's like,
I can kind of almost, first of all, backtrack a little bit since we were distracted to, you know,
Captain Marvel.
definitely interested in that. Anything Marvel, absolutely interested in, even seeing it in theaters. I don't necessarily have the I have to see it in theaters feeling.
Right.
If I can get caught up, which really
that's
I'm just.
That's the thing, is that you are behind.
Yeah, I would go and see it. And I did finally get all the Blu-rays of the movies I haven't seen yet, so I can get caught up at home and easily. But if it's still in theaters and I'm caught up, then yes, I would go to the... But DC, as far as Shazam goes, my policy with DC is I'll wait till it's at home.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see it, and I will see it, but I'm going to do it where I can pause it and go do whatever else. I mean, I thought...
You get a lot of L things to do when the movie's on?
If I'm not super engaged with a movie, I get really antsy, and I like to be able to pause it, or, you know, like, if it's a movie I really like, I don't mind, you know, holding back in a bathroom break, but if it's pretty much anything that DC has had to offer me so far, I want to be able to get, I don't want to hold that, I want to go up and go to pee if I need to. I want to have access to pizza or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I just... They don't.
No time for the movie. I got to pee and pizza.
Exactly. I mean, that's my entire life right there. That's all I do when I go home and,
that's another
and
title
put pubic hair
that's
on my iPad.
That one would be even
pubic
better.
Pee and pizza.
The triple P.
Yeah, with a dash of funeral porn.
This will be my last episode of Nerd Radio.
Oh, no.
It's like pedophile. Ah! With your sweater, your Argyle sweater.
Hellboy reboot, April 12th.
To have an Argyle.
Is this coming to theaters? Or
it's going
to
be in theaters.
No,
yeah.
I thought this was something for like Netflix or something. This is with the dude from Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, James Harbour from Stranger Things.
I'm interested to see
Hellboy.
How he plays Hellboy. I want to see what he's up to.
I think it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Hellboy movies. I thought those were pretty good.
Hellboy, if it crosses my path.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay. But I wouldn't go out
Not
of my
going
way.
Out of your no. way. Well, the movie I'm sure all three of us are going out of our way is at the end of April. Like I said earlier, Avengers Endgame.
I'm talking it's on HBO. If I've got nothing else to watch and it's there, I might put it on. But yeah. I don't even know that I would rent it, you know.
But did you guys hear that they're, with all the pressers and everything like that for Avengers Endgame, they're only showing the first 15 minutes?
Oh, really?
They're saying, yeah.
Really?
Which tells me that nothing happens in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. They're going to show you again which characters are still alive, like in the trailer.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was laughing. I was updating stuff on my Facebook page and the... Like, I only have a handful of videos. Like, would you like to select a featured video? And I was like, yeah, the one I did with James watching the thing. And I was like, this is so anticlimactic, the entire thing. This is the best video I have on my page, is us being completely lackluster, not impressed. Like, well, that's a trailer.
Yeah. Oh, so this is a movie trailer.
I've heard about these.
Yeah, I recognize
these
people.
This is how these work.
Yeah.
It's called Endgame. Okay. These guys are alive. Okay, cool.
Yep. That's about it, yeah.
How about June 7th, X-Men Dark Phoenix? The third part of the first class, the X-Men first class.
Yeah, that's
class
what
trilogy.
That was going to be my question, was whether or not it was the James McAvoy and
They're losing
Michael
they're,
Fassbender and all that.
Yep, they're using the same actors and actresses.
And this is the fourth one, right?
Is it the fourth one? What was they did Apocalypse.
They
That's
did
right.
Apocalypse. They did First Class. They did Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So this will be the fourth one.
But this is...
I said those out of order. If anyone's going to be upset, I know I said the movies out of order.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, they've held this one out. Like, that was supposed to come out last year.
I think those
year.
Movies are great. So I'm actually really excited about that. In particular, the First Class, the First Class.
First Class
whatever.
Was really cool, and Days of Future Past was
Days of
was
Future
great.
Past might have been the best
of
the bunch. That was a good movie. A lot of people didn't like Apocalypse. I was fine with it.
Yeah, I couldn't stand it.
I didn't hate it.
I liked it. We had hated it, didn't mind it, and I liked it. I mean, I didn't love it. But I liked it.
I liked seeing some of the characters. It reminds me a lot of the first X-Men, branch of X-Men movies. And, like, I really like seeing Beast. And I really like seeing this character, stuff like that. But plot-wise, like, wow, this movie's bad. And I felt the same way about Apocalypse. Like, it was really cool to see the young Nightcrawler. And, hey, Jubilee's in this movie. And there's Scott and Jean. All right, cool. But, oof.
Yeah, I think my main beef with that was how easily or the way Apocalypse got taken down.
Yeah.
Because, if I remember correctly, it was more mental games than it was actually, like, physical fighting, right? And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. Come on. There's be way more physical fighting against Apocalypse than...
That's why you have to have a team of X-Men. So they can physically fight him while Xavier's in there trying to shut off his brain.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So, Dark Phoenix. Well, didn't we already see the Phoenix thing?
The Phoenix was in Apocalypse, right?
You got to see in the X-Men The Last Stand, you got to kind of a version of the Dark Phoenix story.
So, because I hated those original X-Men movies.
I didn't mind them. I'm okay with them.
So this is almost like a take two on that.
A little bit. The Dark Phoenix is a story that's historic from like the late 70s in the comics. And whenever people think X-Men, Dark Phoenix story is right up there with like, oh, we need to translate a version of this story. They did it in the cartoon back in the 90s.
You know what makes me so mad too? Because I've watched the cartoon like religiously. So anytime I see something in the movie that doesn't stand up to the cartoon, I'm like, this is not real. This is not how it happened in the cartoons. Yeah. Saturday mornings told me how the X-Men story goes.
Right.
And your movies are messing it up.
I love the idea of a grown-ass man standing up in a theater going, that's not how it happened in the cartoons!
Oh, dude, you think I'm joking? That first X-Men movie?
No, I don't.
That first X-Men movie when Hugh Jackman makes the comment about the Wolverine costume, or somebody says, would you prefer yellow spandex?
I was like, yes, I would!
You're much better than the stupid futuristic costumes you're wearing. Bring back the yellow spandex. Yeah. Also, fun fact, one of the rarest comics I think I own is The Phoenix, like The Rise of the Phoenix.
Nice.
Like it was weird, like a party store by my house where you go in and buy like condoms, porn, and liquor.
Right.
Also had like comic cards and comics, so I guess where I got into like Marvel comic cards.
Oh, cool.
And they had that comic for sale for whatever reason. I mowed lawns for a month or two to where I could afford to buy it, and I bought it, and I think now it's in a shoebox in my garage somewhere.
I don't know about you, but that is how I fell into superheroes, was when Marvel was doing the cards.
Oh, dude, yeah, I know more about Marvel characters because of the cards than I do actually reading the comics, so that's why I'm always like, you guys talk about the authors and some of the artists and stuff, and I know the Hildebrand brothers, because they did the Marvel Masterpieces like 1997.
Yeah. I do have a question for you since we were talking about that movie.
Yeah.
And you're an X-Men guy.
I am.
That's your favorite thing. Do you have, of all of the X-Men movies that are out, do you have a favorite? Is there one that really stands out to you?
Let me backtrack for a second, because we were all talking about how we really liked Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I mentioned it on the show, but last year I've got a stack of movies at home that like Amy has not seen, and she's not seen any of the X-Men movies. So I showed her First Class. She was like, that was okay. That was fun. I was like, oh, can you just wait. Days of Future Past bridges the gap between the old ones and the new ones. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And we got halfway through Days of Future Past, and she's like, I'm not feeling it.
Oh.
I'm like,
devastating.
Oh, it hurt my heart a little bit. Because X-Men are my jams.
Before, she's like, you know what? I really want to see this other one instead. It's the one you hate. Just turn the dagger, man.
Yeah, because
really stabbed me.
It's like, James, we've talked about this in like in our comic book segments in the past. That you know, like there are books that you're interested in, and maybe the writer takes over and you don't like them, so you drop the book or what, and it'll come on and off. And you know, X-Men is one of the ones that Chuck has found that. Uncanny X-Men, no matter how much he likes or dislikes it, he's got to collect it because
otherwise I'm just going to come back and pick up the issues.
Right, and you might as well.
I'm already going through that because I took when Uncanny X-Men finished a couple years ago, and then they had like Extraordinary X-Men.
Yeah, they're Extraordinary, and they red and blue and gold.
Yeah, I didn't like that book. But then when they did Blue and Gold, I came back and I collected those. And now that Uncanny X-Men is coming out again and it's cool, I'm like, man, I should really find those Extraordinary X-Men books and fill that hole.
Uh-oh.
So was that kind of taking the place of Uncanny?
Because there wasn't an X-Men book. Right. That was the X-Men book.
Because I hate when that happens. Like, I really like Spider-Man, and when they did the Superior Spider-Man story, that was instead of Amazing. Yeah. But Amazing's the main book. If you like Spider-Man, you got to collect all the Amazing books.
Exactly.
You know? So, similarly. So, that's why I was asking you, now as Days of Future Past, is that what the answer is? I mean, you're also talking about there. You got three Wolverine movies. You know, Logan's.
Yeah, well, I don't count those.
Well, they're an X-Men movie though, so I'm talking.
They are X-Men movies.
Out of all of the,
I would consider those Wolverine movies myself.
No, is
he not an X-Man?
He is an X-Man. I say I don't count those. Let me clarify. I do not count the first Wolverine movie because it is quite possibly the worst superhero movie of all time.
But it still counts, you just, it's at the bottom of your list.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It counts as an X-Men movie.
It's awful. There's one redeeming factor from Wolverine Origins, I think it was, and that was whoever played Sabretooth. I can't remember his name, but he had lines and he was creepy.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff, and like he was a good Sabretooth as opposed to the one in the first one that just grunts at people. Who is actually, I've met that actor, Tyler Mane, and he is a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, I think he'll be at the Astronomicon.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to. Mark that in your calendars, Nerd Radio listeners.
Yeah.
That's next month. Astronomicon's going to be a fun time.
Second weekend of February. It's Michigan.
You'll be hearing more about that.
So it's definitely not Wolverine Origins.
It's not Wolverine Origins, no, for sure.
Logan was real good. So you got to count those, and I feel like you could put an asterisk next to the Deadpool movies. You could count them or not.
I have to probably be Days of Future Past There's so many of the toys are you know, kind of
dumped
out of the toy box. It's a really good movie.
You
get to see Blink.
Yeah.
Get to see a whole bunch of, like, you get to see the old versions of the characters. You get to see Wolverine in a version of his, like, orange and brown costume in the future. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, the Quicksilver scenes are pretty...
Oh, the Quicksilver scenes are hilariously
great,
fun.
Yeah,
in First Class and in that one.
They're funny, they're fun, and also just it's a good sequence.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about Spider-Man. That's the next one on our list, July 26th, the Spider-Man Far From Home the sequel to Homecoming. I kind of can't wait for this, even though I did really enjoy Into the Spider-Verse. Like, the Tom Holland as Spider-Man is real fun.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what more
isn't
they do with the character.
Isn't the announcement of that movie kind of a spoiler for Infinity War?
Kind of.
Well, they don't have to.
We know there's going to be a second Black Panther, and there's going to be another Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it could take place, you know, before the whole war started. You know, you can play with the timelines a little bit. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling Spidey's going to make it out, but
right. In August, we get the other of the held back X-Men related movies, The New Mutants.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Which, from the looks of it, is based on the Demon Bear saga, which was in the original New Mutants comic book, but is a little bit more of a horror movie than a superhero movie. Just happens to feature a whole bunch of kids that aren't quite X-Men yet.
Hmm.
So I want to see what that's going to be all about.
I'm interested as well. I just don't care if I make it to the theaters for that.
Yeah. October the 4th, Joker.
I'm very interested in seeing Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. That's, I think out of all the movies that you've mentioned so far, that might be the one that has piqued the most interest for me.
For sure.
You know, I mean, I want to see all those other Marvel movies you mentioned or whatever, but like the Joker, that may be the exception to my DC rule too, where like, I'll wait till it comes out. The Joker, I think I'll go.
You might have to, have to check
I really like Joaquin Phoenix, and I think it might be a really good Joker.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm interested in that one myself as well. But it feels like it has the, much like New Mutants, it has the capability to either be completely live up to my expectations or fall so short.
Yeah.
That I'll be like, oh, damn it. That was awful.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me nervous about that movie is, I mean, they keep trying to do the Joker.
Yeah.
And sometimes they succeed. I mean, I'm even like referring to Heath Ledger obviously succeeded.
Sure.
You know, I think I still can't think of the guy's name, but the actor from Shameless who was in Gotham, he succeeded.
Yeah. Yes.
I personally don't like the Jared
Even
Leto.
They technically couldn't call him the Joker.
They couldn't. Yeah. Right. But you know, but that's who it was. Everyone knows that's who it was. He was great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and I always try to remind people about that because you get the Joker debate and a lot of, you know, sometimes people argue Heath Ledger did it so good that it's just done. You can't do that character.
Yeah, and it's like, well, you gotta.
This kid did a great job. He's, and you know, whatever you call him, he's the Joker and he's awesome. He did it really good. And I don't know. I just didn't really like Jared Leto's. And I know that there's people who did, but no,
it's a different take on the Joker, but I also agree with the fact that whoever tries to do that character in a live action sequence after something as powerful as Heath Ledger's version of the character, like you're going to fall short and you just got to kind of put your nose down and truck ahead.
Yeah. But I also understand why, you know, Jared Leto was so out there and crazy because you're trying to reinvent the character in your own way and not just regurgitate what Heath Ledger just did.
Right.
You know, because I think everyone agrees that that's one of the better performances of that character. So I can understand how, like, I got to try something new and then you end up falling short. Like, I'm not faulting Jared Leto for that because, I mean, like, Requiem for a Dream. I like Jared Leto. You know, like, Requiem for a Dream's a good movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good
movie.
I don't
mind him. I don't think he's not an actor I'm going to show up for, but he hasn't let me down, really, aside from the Joker.
It's not a good movie because of Jared Leto. He just happens to be in a good movie.
Right. Yeah.
What's a good movie? You want to be depressed.
That's true.
Well, that is a very depressing movie. That's a good movie.
Yeah, I'll never forget the ending of that.
Oof. Yeah.
going to go butt to butt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oof. Butt to butt.
Maid Marian.
Well, that's where we're ending this week's Nerd Radio. Right here with a little... with some Requiem for a Dream. Make sure you hit us up on all our social media, Nerd Radio 101. Make sure you're following us on, you know, wherever you get your podcast. Give us a review on the iTunes or, you know.
And if you are, I guess if you're listening to this, you found it somewhere, but maybe you clicked one of the links that we share on our social media. If you're having trouble finding it, let us know so we can, you know, like we were talking about, I guess.
We can make the hunt easier for you.
A listener is having some trouble finding it on iTunes or the Apple podcast. So,
right.
If we don't know there's a problem, we can't look into fixing it.
Yep.
So.
Well, thanks you guys for showing up. Thank you at home for listening, and we'll join you again next week. Next week, we'll definitely talk about some comic book stuff,
because cool.
I got a list of stuff comic book-wise to talk about.
Maybe I will have read three by then.
Okay, I hope so.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
Just the wrestling. Oh...
I don't know what that was.
That was my posh God, idiot, all right?
Hope that's an end tag.
Jefferson's posh idiot. That's
just wrestling. Oh.
That's Gerald.
That's not Gerald.
What would Gerald sound like? Gerald would sound like a little puss, wouldn't he?
Voice of Gerald.
I think Gerald sounds more like this.
Sounds like John Wick.
Rip out everyone. Yeah, there you go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.